This is the first summit, NATO summit in Britain since the end of the Cold War, and clearly the most important summit for NATO since 1994, which went towards enlargement. And this particular summit is meeting in a circumstance where our immediate security environment is less benign and less prosperous than we used to imagine. We always based our foreign and defence policy on the idea that the European theatre and our near abroad, our immediate environment in North Africa, the Mediterranean and the Middle East, was essentially unchanging and essentially prosperous. And both of those assumptions are not now as true as they were. So NATO meets in an atmosphere of some impending crisis. And whatever the agenda of NATO's summit is, it actually falls into three different types of issue. One type of issue is the issues that need to be addressed, such as things that have been long on NATO's agenda, such as the future of NATO's involvement with Afghanistan at the end of this year, 2014, maritime security, ballistic missile defense, cyber security. These are all the issues that NATO has long had on its agenda and will have to deal with. But then there's a second sort of agenda, which is the agenda of what I would call NATO as a forum. The fact is that there are 63 delegations here, all the 28 of NATO, plus the partners and associates. And so this is a great meeting of leaderships, of world leaders, and some of the most powerful people in the world are all at this summit. And that means that although the Middle East is not a NATO responsibility as such, not directly, the fact is that the problem of Islamic State will be pretty near the top of the agenda at this summit, simply because everyone is here. And NATO has not a direct policy to offer in terms of what should be done about this, but NATO's unseen hand will be there in any joint military action which the major powers may agree to over the next weeks and months. Just as NATO's unseen hand was there in 1991 when Western powers went to the Gulf to repel the invasion of Kuwait, NATO's procedures, its habits of cooperation, its command and control structures, all of those things tend to go with the members when they act together. And so, in a way, there's an unseen hand working at this summit, which is the second type of agenda item. It's the Middle East, what to do about Islamic State, and there isn't much time left. The fact is that the so-called caliphate of Islamic State, they have money, they have publicity, they have a perception that they're winning. That is not true, but if we don't act very quickly, it will become true. And so we don't have months to think about this, we have weeks to think about it, and that will be part of the agenda here. The third bit of the agenda is what I would call the credibility agenda, and that actually is what NATO is really here to discuss. We didn't expect it to be as dramatic as this, but the fact is it is. And that is to say that the events in Ukraine, in Crimea, and now in eastern Ukraine, the challenge that President Putin has laid down to the principles of international law and European security, the challenge that he's been laying down since 2008 with the war against Georgia, is now confronting NATO. And so, in a sense, NATO is essentially about European security. It is about keeping its members secure in a collective defense alliance. And that security is now being challenged. Not that NATO members are being directly challenged, but NATO's neighborhood is being challenged. And NATO at 28 members, remember it used to be 16, now it's 28, is a very different sort of NATO to the NATO that we used to think about in the Cold War. Three of its members, the Baltic states, are neighbors in effect of Russian influence. Two of them have got Russian minorities, Estonia and Latvia. Lithuania has a Russian naval base on its territory, Kaliningrad. Another new NATO member, Romania, is right next to Moldova. And Moldova has a significant Russian minority in Transnistria, which is not unlike the situation in Crimea of 6 months ago. So NATO has a lot to think about, and it must provide credibility that the Article 5 guarantee that an attack on one is an attack on all, that it really applies. And so NATO's got to do two things in this real essence of its agenda. One is to reassure its new members that it is a meaningful military alliance and that Article 5 is alive and well and would operate if it ever had to. And the second job, more difficult, is to actually send a message to Mr. Putin and the people around him that NATO is not an old-fashioned organization. It cannot be easily outflanked. It cannot easily be outthought. And so it has to signal to President Putin that the events that we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years, but particularly over the last 6 months, are unacceptable, they will hold consequences, and that ultimately that Mr. Putin is taking Russia into a strategic cul-de-sac. Somehow it has to signal that to him. It will require military, economic, and social activities. NATO is not responsible for all of those things. But the fact is, NATO is meeting now, here in September 2014. And so NATO is in the position, comfortably or not, where it will set the lead. It will create a tone, and it will set the lead for other European forums and other European leaderships. And we'll see in this next 2 days whether NATO, the greatest alliance the world has ever seen, in 1949, it is still the greatest military alliance the world has ever seen, but it may soon have to prove it.